Hello everyone and welcome to our third interview on the NARSA podcast. I'm Gary Gillen, your host for today, and I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Thompson, Communications and Content Manager in the Commercial and Marketing Department at our beloved Rangers Football Club. For those who don't know, Nick is one of the main members of staff responsible for, amongst other things, the content and interviews that we enjoy with players and staff and management on Rangers TV. Nick, thank you very much for joining NARSA today. How are you doing and how has COVID been affecting your life this past year or so?
Yeah, well, thanks very much, first of all, for having me today, Gary. Yeah, it's been an interesting year, to say the least. I guess I'm in the very fortunate position that the vast majority of matches within my role, I'm still entitled within the Scottish Government, Scottish FA protocol, to attend these matches to ensure that the supporters at home are still able to get as close to the team as we possibly can bring them at the moment. And I think that's really been the key aim, certainly from a content perspective, particularly in the last couple of years, given that supporters unfortunately have been locked out of the stadium. So it's been a strange year, but hopefully, well, as I say, we're in a good position. Everything on the park is going very well, and hopefully that continues between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, it's really been surreal. So just to that point then, Nick, is it somewhat just business as usual for you with your specific role within the club?
To some extent, yeah. I mean, my role began to change perhaps around just the coincidence of COVID, perhaps last March. And then the official appointment of me in this role happened in September. But I think really, it's in terms of sort of match day operations, it's almost business as usual, obviously with the COVID protocols, social distancing, disinfection, etc. That all obviously happens alongside the role. And then I guess the biggest change in terms of COVID is being tested at least once a week. That allows access to the training ground and to be able to, you know, carry out duties there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, lots of stuff going on in the background that we just typically wouldn't see. That's great. That's great news. So just from an introduction perspective, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your history with Rangers and your career to date and how that's manifested itself into your current position with the club, please?
Well, I guess really I've always been a Rangers fan, Rangers season ticket holder, huge family history of Rangers, you know, stretching all the way back. So I studied sports journalism at university from 2010 onwards. Got a job with the Wishaw Press local newspaper. That was been in 2013. I was there from sort of August 2013 till the June of 2015. And then in June 2015, I got the job as a content producer with Rangers. So it was a case of moving across to Rangers from there, club in the championship at that time. And it's really just been a roller coaster of the journey, kind of seeing, you know, from that time when the club was, you know, really very much just at the start of the rebuilding process, seeing it just build up year on year, all the different changes in management, etc. And now getting ourselves into the position we are in now. As I mentioned earlier, my role officially changed to Content Communications Manager last September, which obviously brings with it more responsibilities, etc. So, yeah, I mean, no 2 days are the same, no 2 days will ever be the same. So it's just been a build-up over the last couple of years, pretty much.
Yeah, terrific. And what sort of experience, how did that feel when you're going from the Wishaw Press? Quick fun fact, I used to work for North Lanarkshire Council and I worked in Wishaw. Or wishy, as they would say out there.
As they call it,
Yeah, and I worked in the main central office. I can't even remember the name of the street now. And then I also worked in a place called Gout Thrapple as well. So that's a fun fact about my past and before I moved over to Canada. So how did that feel when you got the call for the interview and you got the call, you know, that you were successful in the role. What did that mean to you and your family at the time?
Look, it meant everything, Gary, and I think it was always kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted, like, everyone has these ambitions of, or you want to go and work for Sky Sports, or, you know, you want to go and get a job in PR with the government or the civil service or whatever. I wanted to go and work for Rangers, and then, yeah, you know, getting the opportunity to do so was what I always wanted to do, and I've just been very privileged and fortunate to be able to get to do that.
Yeah, that's terrific. So from a Rangers communications perspective, can you explain a little bit about how the commercial and marketing department is structured and where you and your role fits in the overall business unit in terms of roles and responsibilities, content creation and delivery?
Yeah, so as I say, my role has been kind of rejigged over the last year or so. David Graham, who of course is now our head of communications and media relations, came in almost a year ago, and as I said before that, pretty much I was just much of a club journalist, and now I guess I'm more than just that. Maybe taking a lead on the messaging of the club in conjunction, and almost being led by David. I guess mine is more of like an operational role, so I'll maybe probably the best way to describe it is it's David takes an overarching view of everything that's happening, and I'll be the one that's kind of almost on the ground, maybe, you know, tactically looking at it, so developing the questions in line with the messages that the club wants to get across, how we get those key messages across, thinking about what the club are saying and why we're saying it, and, you know, then beyond that, I'll be the one that, you know, I'll organise the press conferences, very much just the sort of day-to-day media operations internally and externally within the club.
And with that, would it be yourself or David that's like the first point of contact for, say, external journalists from the mainstream media or even fan media? Are you the conduit into David for that, or is it a bit of a hybrid between yourself and David?
Largely as David is the first point of contact, but that's not to say that there's, you know, sometimes there will be a delegation of things to myself, or it might be myself that deals. It just depends. As I said, like the first point of contact is David, but there is an element of, you know, things that I may pick up as well with that.
Nice. Terrific. So I think it's fair to say that anyone who's paid any attention to the club's communications in the past decade, or certainly in the last 6 years or so, you know, when Dave King and his crew came in to save us, it will have seen a significant improvement in the quality, content and direction overall. And I know that you and I had chatted about this at some points, over the past wee while. You know, at one point it was a struggle to create content, and then, you know, meaningful content that people would like to consume. And then in other times, you know, they just can't get enough. And I would imagine that's kind of where we're at just now. But some of that's obviously due to the club and the team doing better overall. And some, I imagine, has likely with the club internally to do with paying more attention to this particular area. So during your tenure, you mentioned previously that you had come in and we were still in the Championship at that particular time. You know, what do you see has been the most impactful improvements that have been made behind the scenes during your tenure to get us to where we're at right now?
I think really what's key to point out, like when I arrived in 2015, it's just been the addition of key members of staff in loads of different areas, all just kind of pulling towards the common good. And you'll hear the manager often talking about small margins. Everyone has a specific role within the club. Everyone's all working together within or with a common goal. And you look, since I've arrived, you've had Stuart Robertson come in, James Bisgrove, the manager, Stephen Gerrard, Douglas Park, Ross Wilson. It's just everyone now working together and really pulling all in the same direction. And I think that's probably what's maybe been the biggest change to get us to, you know, the position that the club is in now. It's just this one club, as Ross will often speak about. And it very much is that. It's just everyone pushing in the one central direction just to get everything aligned and everything all working for the betterment of Rangers.
And it genuinely feels like that from the inside.
100%, yeah, 100%. There's no doubt that, you know, everything, as I say, is just all geared towards Rangers. You know, the main thing and the most important thing is Rangers doing well on the park. And every cog behind the scenes has to turn in the same direction to be able to do that. And it does seem very much, and it is very much the case at the moment, that everything is working and pulling in the one direction to be able to achieve that.
Great. So in terms of Rangers benchmarking and modelling our communications and media content and delivery against any other sports organisation, I'm wondering if we are trying to tailor what we are doing towards some sort of gold or platinum standard that's out there. Is there any benchmarking organisations that we are trying to emulate or at least take the best bits from for our particular support?
I think the key thing, Gary, is that it's Rangers, and Rangers always has to be the gold or the platinum standard. Rangers always has to be the very best. So, I mean, of course, we'll take ideas from what other clubs are doing, but everything has to be done with a real Rangers focus. You know, there's no other football club anywhere in the world that's like Rangers, and I think it's really, really key that Rangers always has a unique identity and one that the supporters can really engage with and understand and kind of reflects the way that they feel. So, as I say, yeah, 100% that we want to be the absolute best in absolutely every area that Rangers as a club does.
Yeah, and you definitely get a feel for that, you know. So we're essentially trying to create a platinum standard, but, you know, making sure it's not generic in any way, or it's not a copy of anything else. You know, we have to have our own unique take on it for the fan base. That's a great answer. You know, it reminds me years and years and years ago when I met with the former president of NARSA, probably back in 2006 or something like that, and he was explaining the NARSA convention to me because we were just in the process of planning it in Calgary, where I live, in 2008. And he said at the time, you know, our convention, if you marry our convention up with, say, for example, Celtic in the North American realm or Liverpool or anything like that, you know, our conventions have class. Our conventions have something a wee bit more unique than anything else that's out there that he's experienced or anything like that. And that always resonated with me, you know, that we were definitely leading the chase, as it were. Yeah, that's great stuff. What would you consider to be your biggest successes with the club during your tenure to date?
I think there's obviously been a lot of changes, you know, over the last year or so, you know, some of which I can't obviously discuss, but I think certainly, you know, I'm now more empowered. You know, you look at the manager, for example. He's been talking about consistency quite regularly in recent weeks. That's not accidental. There's a strategy and a thought behind him saying that. There's a lot more layers to the communications than maybe there had been before, and it's just about having, you know, this overarching look at comms, and as I said before, just ensuring that everything that's coming out from the club, everything has a reason behind it.
Yeah.
And ensuring that, you know, we're trying to project the club in the best possible light, looking after the club, of course, at the same time, but just making sure that, you know, as we spoke earlier, it's Rangers, it's about setting the highest standards. So, I mean, I think that's probably been, you know, one of the biggest successes, as I say, in, you know, a pretty short tenure so far, that we now have, you know, a real, these layers to absolutely everything that we do.
Yeah, and as a consumer of that, you can feel that, you can feel the purpose that's within it. You know, there's not any, it doesn't feel like there's any fillers or any, you know, I'm just going to pop something out here just because people haven't heard from us for a while. If we've got something to say, we'll say it, and we'll say it quite succinctly as well, because in the past, from my own personal experience, some of the articles, say for example on the website, were very, very verbose, and my brain doesn't compute the amount of time it would take to read some of this stuff. A lot of the stuff now is really, really quick, and it's very consumable and you know, chunks sort of thing, and quick chunks. So I personally really appreciate that as well, and that's great. Excellent. So And I know that you kind of alluded to this a wee bit at the top of the interview here, but could you give your best shot at explaining what a typical day in the life would look like for you?
Well, I think as I said, Gary, there's not really any 2 days that are the same. So, say for example, a press conference day. So say there's a press conference on, so it'll be a case of setting up. At the moment, it's all Zoom press conferences, setting up the press conference, liaising with our colleagues from Rangers TV to check the cameras there. Everything around that is set up. Let the journalists into the room, or into the virtual room, I should say. So control and access that way. So facilitating the press conference or the various press conferences that will happen between the manager and the player, the broadcasters, the daily newspapers, the Sunday newspapers, etc., getting them all sorted. Then a case of almost reviewing what the manager has said, in conjunction with David picking out, you know, the key lines, what is it we really want to get across from what he said, and getting them into words that will then be written up for the website. So then it'll be a case of transcribing, getting the words done for the website. And then it's just a case of keeping an eye on my colleague Louise Shaw, looks after our academy and women's content, tying in with her to make sure that everything that's happening there is all kind of in line with the overreaching plan. You know, it may be that we'll have Rangers TV interviews that are for the broadcast for the following day, so conducting the two Rangers TV interviews, or if the interviews are going to be the following day, preparing questions well in advance of them to ensure that everything we're asking is tying into the key lines, or the key messages that we have. So really, you know, that could be, you know, any day, but there's so many different variables that could potentially happen in each individual day that it's quite hard actually just to say what a typical day might be like.
That's exciting, you know, and it certainly doesn't suit everyone that every day can be different depending on specifically what's happening in the world or in the sports world or just in the industry in general. So does that type and style of excitement suit you and your style and personality?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've always been someone that I like being on the go. I like variety. You know, the thought of just sitting in an office 9 to 5 every day has never really appealed to me. So yeah, like the opportunity just to, you know, have that variety, and, you know, as I say, even working hours are never the same with the matches, and, you know, there's so much that happens, you know, beyond what normal hours might be. I mean, that's great. That's you know, part of the job, and I guess that excitement is what makes it really.
Yeah, a bit of a buzz. Yeah, I like it. That's great. So I just wanted to talk quickly here, Nick, about fan media. So this season, specifically this season, has seen the club embrace a fan media movement with the likes of Heart and Hands, David Edgar becoming more involved in the journalistic content that was usually or typically exclusive to mainstream media prior to this season. So how, if at all, do you see the involvement of fan media affecting your responsibilities within the club and or the content that you deliver today?
I don't think they'll ever really affect the content as such. The fact it won't. I mean, David Edgar actually is a really good example. Now, you know, Club 1872 were really strong on getting fan media, and, you know, we were only too happy to back that. I mean, the fan media will be held to the same account of fairness, balance and accuracy as sort of the traditional mainstream media. I mean, fan media's, you know, fan media, you know, the media is going to become more digitalized as time goes on, and fan media is just going to become more and more normal. You look at plenty of examples, you know, from down south, both Manchester United and Liverpool both allow fan media into cover. So, you know, there's no reason why in Scotland Rangers shouldn't be at the forefront of trying to facilitate this as best we can. It's a sign of the times, pretty much. But in terms of it, you know, ever really infringing on what we as a club do, it just won't. They're two totally separate things. So, you know, we absolutely welcome, as I say, fan media you know, as I said as well, you know, Club 1872, we're keen for it to happen. We were only too happy to facilitate that.
Excellent. Yeah, great stuff. So switching quickly over to NARSA, you know, so both NARSA and ORSA conventions are heavily supported by the club in terms of who they'll send over from a club hierarchy perspective. And on occasion, it's not been absolute, but on occasion from a media coverage perspective as well. You know, for example, the last convention we were able to have in Windsor, Ontario, we had the RTV crew over and doing some on-the-spot interviews and interviews with the various VIPs and former players that were there as well. So have you ever been fortunate enough to attend a NARSA or ORSA convention? And if not, why the hell not?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't. It's certainly on my bucket list. I would absolutely love to come over to a NARSA convention at some time. So, yeah, I mean, as I say, definitely at some point in the future, would absolutely love to come over. Just hasn't been possible so far, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, our 150th anniversary bash is in Las Vegas, Nevada next year. So hopefully you can make it along then and get a chance to see and feel what it's all about and enjoy it from there. And as I say, the club content has been good and positive, even if it's just been website articles in the past as well. So that's great. So I'm going to go on here to a quick fire round, which I've done with the previous couple of guests that we've had on the NARSA pod. So just some fun questions here. Whatever the first thing that comes to your mind is, please say it. So if you could spend a day in someone else's shoes, whose shoes would they be and why?
You know, that's a great question. It's a great question. You've caught me on the hop, Gary. Who would I like to be? I'm actually going to say the gaffer. You know, to have that responsibility of being the guy that's in charge of Rangers Football Club. You know, what a massive responsibility, but what a thrill it must be to have. Or to be able to deliver for all those supporters day in, day out. It must just be, you know, an absolutely fantastic role.
Yeah, incredible. For some reason, Nick, and I have absolutely no basis for this, I had a feeling you were going to say the gaffer. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why. If you could instantly become an expert in something, anything, what would it be?
How to ensure that we get 3 points, no matter the circumstances, no matter the weather, week in, week out.
To make everything just all that much better. Yeah, I love it. What's your favourite cartoon character?
Got to be Homer. Homer.
Nice. The best concert you've ever been to?
This is where I show myself up as not much of a music fan and not much of a concert goer. I have always been a football sports nerd rather than a music fan, and I can hear my girlfriend in the other room hit her head against a brick wall because she's very much the opposite. She's the musical one in the family, so pass, unfortunately.
Oh, my word. Okay. If you won £1 million today, what would be the very first thing you would buy?
A new car. I would buy some sort of fancy Lamborghini or something like that.
Nice. Nice. Great stuff. So from a wrap-up perspective here, Nick, you're the guy behind 99% of the RTV interviews that we would see, whether it be with players or management. What was it like the first time you met the gaffer, and do you remember the first question you asked him?
Yes, I do remember the first question, because the first time I ever interviewed him was on pre-season in Spain 2018, and I asked him what his view on the Europa League draw against Scupi was, because we'd just been drawn to play Scupi in that very, very first qualifier. So I remember that as the first question, and I mean, yeah, of course it's a bit daunting because it's the first time you've ever been introduced beforehand, just I think a couple of days after he'd become the manager, just in kind of in terms of, you know, that's that I'm the person that might be, you know, interviewing you more often than not, just to kind of, you know, get to know him, or at least him know my face. But, you know, it's still daunting when you're speaking to, yeah, a real world superstar, someone that you'd grown up watching, someone that was, you know, absolutely one of the best footballers, most recognisable people, you know, on the whole planet. Never mind a footballer person, one of the most recognisable people on the whole planet. So, yeah, it was daunting, but it's great though, because, you know, to be able to be a part of the club when we're so lucky to have someone like that as our manager, and then be able to, you know, be lucky enough to speak to him on a pretty regular basis, it's absolutely incredible.
Terrific. Excellent, yeah. I'm sure there's millions of people that would like to have been in your shoes to be able to get to do that fairly regularly. That's terrific. So how can people find you on social media, Nick?
I'm perhaps not overly prolific on social media, but I do have a Twitter account, which is RFC_Nick92, where you might find the odd update or a picture from a match or whatever, but not as prolific on social media as I used to be, albeit still keeping a very close eye on what's going on social media.
Nice. Terrific. I love it. Nick, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to be on the show today. Hopefully this won't be the last time we have a chance to have you on. So until next time, take care and all the very best, my friend.
Thanks again, Gary. Appreciate it.
Take care. Thanks. Cheerio.